I'm Kevin O'Coyne.
And I'm Brian Ackley. This is Life in the Rough, the podcast.
Episode 22. Deuce, deuce! Deuce, deuce, baby!
Oh, boy, Kev, it's been a great week, man. I tell you, I thank the golf gods. I think the good karma that's out there in the universe, my friend. Let me tell you, excuse me, gosh, geez, my golly.
Before I got bronchitis.
Yeah. Before we get into everything we want to talk about, I got to tell you a quick story, bro. I'm golfing last Thursday. I get to the course for like 6 o'clock, play around, and I get home. No, play whatever.
Hold on a second. Isn't it great that we can do that now? Like you can go start playing golf at 6 p.m. after work.
Dude, it's awesome. It's light out. So nice. 8:30. It's amazing. So I play with a guy named Brian. And I fucking on the eighth hole leave my 8-iron greenside. And I go back after we finish up. I didn't realize that on the ninth hole, it's a par three and I wasn't using my 8-iron. So go back. It's nowhere to be found. It's not on the last two holes. And I'm like, all right, but like nobody said that they picked it up. And I'm like, this is fucked. Like I'm pissed. So I'm on eBay trying to see if somebody put it online, if I could just buy one, because since the Sim Max 2s came out, they don't make the Sim Maxes anymore. So like I'd have to buy one used and then customize it with the shaft and the grip. So I call.
And how often are like single clubs being sold used? Like it's always like the set is for sale. Nobody's selling. Oh, I have the 8-iron of last year's club. I don't hit it as well as the other irons. So I'm going to get the Sim 2 of the 8.
Yeah. So I called Tallwood and no one turned it in. I called the next day. Nobody turned it in. And I'm like, dude, this sucks. Yo, I called this morning as I was on my way on my lunch break to go like see what Chris Cody's had to offer. And I was already eyeing one on eBay. And I called Tallwood. They're like, yep, we've got it right here for you. I was like, let's go. Oh. Dude, I was so pumped. I get down there. This thing looks like it hit three large buckets of fucking balls. Grass all over the face of it. I was like, I mean, I really appreciate the person who returned it. And I hope you listened to the podcast. But I took a photo of it. And I was like, you've got to be fucking kidding me. I would never, ever have a club that looked this way. Ever. And I was just like, yep.
It is not how you left it.
It was not how I left it. I was like, I pulled it back. I was like, they better not have bent this shaft hitting that ground so damn much.
Right.
So I'm very thankful. I had given some money to a homeless man at a stoplight in Hartford earlier that week. Actually, earlier that day. It was last Thursday.
It's a circle.
Yeah, it's a circle. No corners. It's a no circle. Corner. Dude, I'm so pumped about that. Don't have to replace any clubs. But we had a weekend of golf, PGA Championship. It was awesome. Pete Ballo, he played awesome. He had one hole that really got away from him, the 17th hole in the first round. Besides that, he played lights out. He really shot well.
He played well. He on Friday, he was what, three over? Four over? I think over?
Three over. And I think I'm pretty three. Sure the back nine, he shot even par.
Wow, dude, on that course, Jesus. Dude,
seriously, especially with the other numbers that people were shooting. So
yeah,
that super well done job by him and all the PGA professionals that went out there. But Phil Mickelson ends up bringing home the tournament. That's fucking awesome.
Dude, I was so fucking jacked up when Phil won.
Dude, I was too. I also had him at plus 275, ladies and gentlemen. Woo-woo! That's how you bet him on Sunday, baby!
Let's go. Yeah, that's huge. Yeah, did you watch much of the tournament or just like kind of catch the end?
On Sunday, I did.
Yeah.
I watched a good amount of it on Sunday, but that, you know, I was, had some golf to do. My friend had a little bit of golf.
Yeah. I feel you. I only played once this weekend, actually. So I got to watch a decent amount of it. But dude, on fucking 18 on Sunday, when they're walking down and like the fucking sea of people, which first of all, there haven't been fans at tournaments really until like the last month or two. And this is like, I didn't think there would be that many people allowed to be on premises.
Well, they probably,
and it was fucking epic how they swarmed the hole like that. I mean, I know Brooksy threw up a fucking fit about it, but I thought it was sick.
I mean, it looked cool. And the photos of it at the end of the day are going to look awesome, but the lack of security and the lack of execution on how to let the people advance throughout the course, I thought was a little ridiculous.
Right. Well, it's also a lack of like respect on the spectators' part. Like that never used to happen. I feel like people were just like, oh, fuck it. We're just going to storm it.
Well, actually, I, like 50 fucking years ago, back when television was black and white, I saw a clip a few weeks ago. There used to be like the tradition was after somebody made a putt to win a tournament, everyone goes and run towards the green to pick up the ball. Like
I saw this. I saw the clip you're talking about.
Yeah. Like that sounds a bit extreme.
And they were like just off camera too. It's like he started like 50 feet away and started running while he was like in his waggle kind of thing and just timed it perfect. But there was like six guys with their hands in the cup with like before the ball even hit the bottom of the cup in that clip. That was hilarious.
Yeah, that was wild. But yeah, so I mean, I heard Brooks's complaints, like he got knocked a couple times. I'm sure he's exaggerating. But I do think that was fucked up. Like,
100%. Like, yeah.
Anyone could have punched him in the face, kicked him in the back of the leg. Like, you're in an area like where there's thousands of people all, you know, rushing in one way. Like, if he goes down and his caddy doesn't pick him up, he could get stomped.
Exactly. 100%. Dude, even Phil got swallowed up, I'm pretty sure, at one point. Like, you couldn't see him.
Yeah.
Which, like, that was the problem. Like, it's one thing to, like, follow, like, a crowd like that into the 18th green, but just like engulf the golfers is just like, I mean, it's disrespectful. I don't know. Like, I agree. Like the security definitely could have been better, but I feel like the fans also just have to be like, have some respect as well.
Oh yeah. On both parties there. Another announcement. We got the merch out. Kev, did you get your merch?
I just got my merch yesterday. And I fucking love it. I love I got a couple blue polos. I got a pullover that I really, really like. I hope it's going to be cool this weekend. So I think I'm going to try to rock it like in the morning time. And you sent me the fleeces for Julia's mother and sister. So they have theirs. Jules is still waiting on hers. But speaking of merch, I want to make a shout out to one of my buddies, my boy, Nate LaChance, who actually got in on the first cycle of merch orders.
Yeah.
Sends me a text at 11:45 on Monday morning. It's just a picture of a bunch of golf carts lined up in a row. He says, playing Farmington Woods big tourney day today. And then he sends me a selfie of him in the Life in the Rough polo. Dude. Like, all right, love that.
Big
charity tournament. You're rocking the merch. You're repping the brand. I love that. So I respond like, let's go, rep the team. Not but an hour and a half later, he sends me another text. Just jarred eagle from 117. Sellied hard.
Let's go.
Right. He goes, I ran the 117 to pull it out of the cup. I'm like, let's fucking go, dude. Fucking sick. So shout out, Nate. Jarred it from 117. 52 degree, 2 bounce in the cup. Eagle. Love that.
Wow. That's nice. That's
sick, right?
That's a great number. Oh, man. Oh, yeah. Oh, that's great. Saturday. That
might be the first eagle in Life in the Rough. Actually, that's the second eagle in Life in the Rough gear because your boy had one in the IOI.
We might have to see what date that was on there, Kev, when I go look at these scorecards.
I don't know.
I three-putted my eagle opportunity. Don't worry about it. Had my
good par. Good par.
Yeah, great par. So I had my niece's birthday, 5-year-old birthday party on Saturday. I didn't. That was Sunday. Who am I kidding? I had Billy's wedding Saturday. So Jack and I played an early round. But the weekend was jam-packed. But on Sunday when I saw my family, my dad was wearing his Life in the Rough polo. I feel like I've seen him wear this now like four times since I've got it for him. He was in on order number one. And I'm just like, God, proud father. It only
took me
32 years and to make
a I was going to say, first time he's ever been proud of his son. Yeah,
awesome. No, he used to wear my Little League All-Star jersey up until I got married. So that
he wore it to the wedding.
Yeah, no, rehearsal dinner. But yeah, dude, people are pumped to get the merch. I had sent out some orders today. I sent out some texts. If people are looking, I can ship it if needed. We can meet up for a beer. We are also going to be at the Nutcracker tournament. That is taking place at Tumblebrook Country Club, June 12th. The foursome will all have Life in the Rough gear. That is mandatory. So we've got some good stuff coming up. And Kev, so we briefly touched on last week. Abby, friend of the podcast. So,
oh yeah, she came up to our house this past weekend.
Yeah. So apparently, Kev says she doesn't listen to the podcast. Get a message. I listen to the podcast. Well, called out, Kev.
The kids called out.
She wants some merch.
Called out.
She wants some merch. We'll have.
He was upset. It was a topic of conversation this weekend.
We'll have to put in another order. I don't know what else I can personally buy myself. I now have 8 items. I got asked this morning on a morning call. My boss is like, Brian, you don't wear the same shirt every day, do you? And I was like, seriously offended. And I was like, no, I have 8 of them. Just in case they add another day to the week, I am ready.
I love that.
Yeah, no. So we are out here supporting the cause.
Hell yeah, we are. We are the cause. How much golf you play this weekend? Sounds like you played a lot.
45 holes.
Jesus fucking Christ, man. I only played 18 this weekend.
You're not even married, bro. What?
I know. You're slapping me around. I will say, before we get into this prior week, I'm going to give a little preface for this weekend. I am going to try to play a full PGA tournament this weekend, just between Saturday and Sunday. I'm going to try to do 36-36 Saturday, Sunday.
That's awesome. I'm going to tell you how many holes I'm going to get between Saturday, Sunday, Monday. 0. I'm going to Dallas. 0? I'm going to Dallas for my future brother-in-law's bachelor party. We might get some top golf in, but we're certainly not going to be hitting the links. So I'm going to play 9 tomorrow, which will be Thursday. And if I can, I don't know if I'll be able to work it out with the dog sitter and all that, because Courtney's actually leaving for Nashville tomorrow. She's got my sister's bachelorette party this weekend. Yeah. So it's going to be wild.
And little joint weekend action.
Yeah. So there you go. got the house sitter coming over for instructions, and the dog sitter, all that good stuff tomorrow. So I've got, or Friday. So I'm going to try to do 9 after work, so I can at least get a full 18 to throw into my handicap, because I've been playing well. And like, I don't want to not
some foreshadowing to this prior weekend's rounds. I hope. Yeah.
I could start real quick. Do you want to get into the rounds, or do you want to discuss some other shit?
I mean, before we move on from the PGA Championship, there's only one thing I did want to mention, because I thought it was absolutely fucking hilarious. I didn't know if you had a chance to see it, but did you see Eric Van Rooyen?
Holy shit. Yes. I'm glad you brought this up. I forgot about this dude. So at first, the first clip I saw, I thought it was Dustin Johnson. Like,
yeah,
he was wearing like an outfit that looked like him, but yep. DJ's so much taller, and DJ would never fucking lose his fucking coconut like EVR did.
Not at all.
Go ahead, Kev. Tell it for those who didn't see it. Tell them what happened, and I'll give you my feedback.
Oh yeah, well he was on the tee box of 17, that like long par 3 over the water. And his ball landed in the fringe and like bounced a couple of times, rolled, and then just rolled off into the water. I think it was on Saturday. I don't even think it was on Sunday. I think he had already made the cut, I believe. I could be wrong about that. It doesn't really matter what day it was, but it goes into the water. And then all of a sudden it pans back to him, and he's walking past like one of the tee markers and just takes a big swing at it. And it like gets knocked over, but doesn't go anywhere. And then he like takes half a step in the other direction, turns around, full wind up, and just launches the fucking tee marker, like smacks at it. The first one basically apparently almost hit a fucking fan. And the second one almost hit the caddy. I don't even think it was his own caddy. I think it was his playing partner's caddy.
Yeah.
It was ridiculous.
It was absurd. I'm expecting that he would probably be, well, he'd definitely be fined. But I thought straight off the back watching him, like,
it'd be DQ'd.
You should get disqualified for something like that. Like,
I agree.
You're losing your fucking mind on a golf course, damaging the property of the golf course. Like, it wouldn't surprise me if he even gets suspended for a week.
Right. Yeah. Like, I think who was it that like slammed their putter into the green? Was that Sergio?
Yeah, Sergio.
Like, I think something like that, I think you should be DQ'd for that, because you're basically like, you're destroying the playing field at that point. I mean, granted, like the T marker, like,
disqualified. He was disqualified for it. Yeah.
Sergio was?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. See, like, I think Van Rooyen should have been just like, granted, like, you're not like the T marker itself doesn't really matter, but that's just like, I feel like you should be DQ'd for that.
Yeah. It was Matt Wallace's caddy.
Okay. That's what I thought. I didn't put out his own.
He put out an apology today. To his team, yeah, to his sponsors. Which,
like, anybody, like fucking Pat Reed would put out an apology for that. You kidding me?
Yeah.
Anybody would do that.
His publicist put it on his Twitter account, probably. Who really knows? Yeah.
I don't care about your apology. You shouldn't do that. You're a professional golfer. You're playing in a fucking major. And the thing is, too, what I was thinking about it, I think everybody was kind of feeling that way that weekend. Because, like, if you look at the course, it was super difficult. It's super fucking windy. It's so hard to score there. And I think that's one of the biggest reasons Phil won, is because, like, even on, like, on Sunday, he hit that ball into the water. He's like, all right, took his drop, still made bogey, whatever, get out of that hole, move on to the next. Like, it's a really fucking hard course. You're not going to be throwing birdies around. You're not going to be sticking pins. And I feel like that mentally got to a lot of guys. And Phil was very cool, calm, collected the entire weekend. And I feel like that was a very large factor into why he won that tournament.
I agree with you. And also, like, Phil's not a player that's going to shoot 6 under every round. So, like, the fact that the course was playing like a US Open was, like, much more difficult conditions, I think was a huge, you know, benefit for him. I really think that it,
I agree,
it did him a service. And dude, I'm super excited for the, I mean, the next champion, the next major is at his home course.
Torrey Pines, baby.
So, I mean, you know, I'd love to see him go back to back. That'd be fucking sick. But you know, now, because I have my fantasy, it'd be unbelievable.
Unbelievable. You picked him up after this weekend, or like you already had him?
No, I picked him up after this weekend. I was going back and forth between him and Molinari, and I was like, no, I'll go with Molinari. I ended up dropping Molinari at, like, just before midnight, before the night before the tournament, and come to find out next morning, he withdraws for I don't even fucking remember what his fucking excuse was. But I was like, thank God I didn't do this to myself again for the third week in a row.
Right.
So I don't even fucking know who won. Oh, Mike Price, first place. Yeah. We also came in second. Was Nelly? Did Nelly?
Probably out? Nelly.
Yeah.
Nelly or DeFusco.
Yeah, Nelly squeaked it out just over DeFusco, and then Durham came in last. So that's how that wrapped up. Your boy over here still sucks, and he's like in last place. And
Excuse me, your boys still suck. Like, nothing happened between the two of us this past weekend, I don't think.
Yeah.
We weren't even good enough to get last place. Nope. Look at us sucking at life.
Nope.
Anyway.
So Thursday I played. Only 9. Okay. Got out after work. And it was just, it was miserably slow. Like 2 hours, 45 minutes slow. Like, and then I lose my club. Luckily I found it. But I end up shooting an 11 over 46. It was just fucking miserable. 7-7-4-5-4-3-7-5-4. Just
too many sevens.
Yeah, a lot of sevens. but all those sevens were three putts. Bro, like, I'm,
dude.
Oh, I know. Well, so that was at Tallwood, and I'm done with Tallwood. I went there today, pick up my club, and I'm done until the greens get nicer. Yeah, I said it here, folks. Said it here first, folks. I am not going back to Tallwood until the greens get nicer, till they improve like Blackledge. Blackledge is nice. I played Gilead and Anderson, and they were both birdie-licious. They were both.
It's honestly crazy that you're saying that, because in the past, Tallwood has always been known for having great greens.
Right. I know. I don't know what's going on. I don't know, Kev. I do not know, but I do not like it.
All right. Tag them. Anyway, so you played, you said Anderson and Gilead this weekend.
Yeah. I played Gilead on Friday after work. And then I played Anderson first thing Saturday with Jack before we had Billy's wedding. Shout out to Billy. Hope he gets the chance to tune into this while he's out in Hawaii. Enjoy the honeymoon, my friend.
Billy, never met you, bud, but congratulations.
Wedding was amazing. The food was fucking fantastic, dude. I love when you go to weddings and you just, everything's delicious. Like, besides the open bar, they had macaroni and cheese topped with pulled pork as one of the appetizers. Oh, and they just gave it to you in a jar.
I don't even care what else they served. I'm already excited about the food.
Well, I had two of those. So I smashed one, put one down on a table, and then I just smashed another. And I was like, all right.
How did you hold that and two Bud Lights, Brian? What were you doing?
Well, it is funny that you mentioned two Bud Lights, Kevin, because we go up to the bar. First, we're getting some drinks. I'm getting Courtney a vodka soda. I'm getting me a Bud Light.
Probably.
Yes. And and the soda, comes out in maybe like an 10-ounce glass, 8-10-ounce glass. And I was like, the beer isn't going to come out like this, is it? He's like, no, we've got much bigger glasses than that. Dude, I'm telling you, he
an gave 11 me, ounce glass.
No, I'm pretty sure her glass was 8 and mine was 10, because he gave me this little like trophy cup thing, and I was like, I'm gonna need two of those.
A little Dixie cup action.
Yeah, and that's how that went. I'll take the judgment. I don't give a shit. But yeah, the wedding was a blast. Was able to get in 18 holes beforehand. Was a little sunburnt, but. I mean, dude, we got to the
wedding. Need a little color on.
Got to the wedding on time. I mean, what more can you ask for when you play 18 holes?
Not a lot.
How much did you play?
I only played 18 holes. I only played Saturday morning. We had a really busy weekend, honestly. It was Julia's sister's birthday. Olivia, happy birthday. Your fleece, it's at my house. I'll get it to you.
Oh, happy birthday, Olivia. Thanks for rocking 24. That fleece.
24. It was her birthday Saturday, so we went over to her parents' house.
Oh, geez, 24. That's a much younger age demographic than I think we're currently rocking here, Kev. TikTok it and
Life in the Rough TikTok.
Yes,
we're gonna do it. We're gonna do it.
She can run it.
So yeah, we had that, and then our Abby Kay and her fiance Marshall ended up coming up for the weekend, or on Saturday night into Sunday as well. So it was busier weekend than anticipated, so I only played Saturday morning.
Did she have words for you? Did Abby have words for you?
About we kind of conversed in a drunken stupor on Saturday evening. So I don't know exactly what was said, but we weren't having a lot of respect towards each other.
Well, that sounds about right. Last week when we talked about it, Kev, you had mentioned that you sent her the link and
I never sent the link. Apparently, I showed it to her on my own phone. Which I said on last week's episode too. I said, I need to confirm I sent the link and didn't just show her what the options were. But anyway, neither here nor there. Abby, I hope you're listening. I hope you're laughing, and I hope you enjoy our banter. Because that's really all our podcast is. It's just us bantering and talking shit to each other.
Birdies and bogeys.
Birdies and bogeys, baby. So you have two more 18. Why don't you tell me about your Saturday round? I'll tell you about my round, and then we'll talk about your Sunday round.
Well, I played Friday and Saturday, so I'll tell you about Friday first.
What?
Yeah, I got out of work early. I didn't play. I wasn't able to play Sunday. I had woke up a little late after the wedding the night before.
I'm sorry. That's what I meant. Friday, and then Saturday, had
my niece's birthday party. But where, by the way, bro, she had this huge Frozen bounce house. Oh, I'm sorry, Frozen 2. I called it Frozen. She said, Uncle Brian, it's Frozen 2. Yeah.
I didn't realize it was like the movie Frozen. I thought it was just really fucking cold.
super cold out. Yeah. So get some nieces and nephews, Kev. You'll pick up on this real quick. Okay. But so it's like for adults. So like I was able to bounce around in there. Let me tell you, it was a fun time. I jumped up, landed on my butt, was able to get back to my feet without, like, you know what I mean? Like, jump up, bounce down, get back up. I was able to do it like 3 or 4 times. And then one time I tried and I fell back and I was like, oh, Brian's going to fucking tear something. We're done. Mackenzie, I'm sorry.
Golf career over.
Yeah. Oh yeah. I can't have that. But so I played Friday and Saturday. Friday, it was a great round. I had ended up playing with, oh gosh, it's too bad. I'm not, oh no. Gotta love Brian being resourceful. Wrote it on the bottom of my scorecard. I played with Wanda and Jim. They were up from Maryland. Gave them the
You've been playing with a lot of travelers the last couple of weekends. Well,
listen, I go out by myself, so I'm always joining other groups, so it's like a grab bag. You never know
what. Yeah, but who's traveling to Hebron, Connecticut to play?
They had family in the area.
But
so anyways, very, very friendly people. So double bogey the first hole.
Okay.
I had to drop. I piped my ball into the rough. It looked like it was going to be in the fairway, but it was in the rough, the right-hand rough of Gilead on the first hole up on top of that hill. I pull out my 3-wood because I'm still like 200 out to the back. So I pull out my 3-wood and I pull it right into the woods. And I was like, this sucks. So I drop, hitting 4, and I put it on the green, a 2-putt from there, and double bogey.
Okay.
From there, I go par, 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 birdie, par, bogey, par, par. So I go out in a 38.
Let's go.
I was like, a 38 with a double and a drop on the first hole. And it was just, I felt so silly about it after I pulled it, because I hit my 3-wood so well that I was like, whatever, I'm not gonna let it get to me. And then the back nine gets it's ridiculous. So the first hole is a par 5. I end up hitting the fairway, hitting the green, but I 3-putted for a bogey. 3-putted by Kev, like I went to tap it in and I missed it. Like it was like a 10-inch putt.
Mental mistake.
Yeah. She was like, you're good. And I was like, I really appreciate that, but like,
gotta put it in.
It doesn't work like that. But so I, 3-putt the first hole on the back. So start with a bogey. Then I go par, bogey, bogey, birdie, bogey, bogey, par. So going in to the last hole, I'm 4 over on the back. And I'm like, well, that's, and I knew it too. And I was like, all right, so I go 4 over on the back. I can par for a 78, bogey for a 79, double for a fucking 80. Oh, you know, all that, which you never fucking do. But so I hit a drive.
I was going to say, this sounds like a mistake.
No. I hit a drive in just off the fairway, hit it well. It was like a buck 30 out. Hit a pitching wedge just left of the green, but it was like underneath this little fucking tree. So then there was a bunch of, and the green is elevated from where the tree is. So I have to hit the ball up towards the green over this rough, but then get the ball to land down. So I'm trying to just do a little punch. I couldn't hit a wedge because it would just go right into the tree.
Right.
So I don't get the ball to the green on my third shot. Put my fourth shot on the green, and to like 5 feet, and then I missed the 5-foot putt. So I double bogeyed 18 so I ended up with an 80. But dude, an 80, I'm super pumped with.
Hell yeah, dude! You've been waiting for a solid round this year too. I feel.
Yeah, and that, now that's 2 9s, back to back weekends where I've posted a 9. One side of my 18 was in the 30s.
Yep.
That's good fucking golf, and a birdie on both sides. So pumped about that.
Dude, honestly, getting away with bogey on the third hole of the back nine on Gilead, I'll take that any day of the week. I hate that fucking hole. That's that super awkward par 5 that like you can't really hit
mm-hmm.
driver off the tee, right? Because you'd end up in the water and you have to like lay up because you can't go over the water. It's like that really weird, like two-tiered hole.
Yep.
Yeah. That hole fucking gets to me, man. That's a sick round, man. I'm so fucking pumped about that.
Yeah, dude. I'm super pumped.
Hell yeah. That's sick. Damn. So an 80. So did that bring, or I guess we'll talk about, I'll ask you about that after we hear about your Sunday round as well. Cause
yeah,
sounds you probably played well Sunday too.
I did play well Sunday, but my handicap's still at like a 14, but now it's gonna start dropping. Cause I'm going to start, I'm ready to play good golf.
You're feeling it. You're in your
group. Yeah. Yeah. Not dude, even a junior. I'm ready to go.
Right. Dude, that's what I said on a previous episode. Like, there's times in golf that you feel like golf is so mental that there's times like if you're playing well, like you feel like you're really close to playing like really, really good golf kind of thing. But then there's other times that you just have zero confidence and you know, like you don't even know what's going to happen with the ball when you go out there. Right. So like to hear that you're in this mentality, I'm really happy to hear that.
Dude,
and also 80, sick fucking score.
Fuck yeah.
Hell yeah. You love that. So I played 18 Saturday morning. I played with Pat and Pat. I felt bad. One of the Pats, he ended up having to deal with like a work crisis and he texted us before we started the round. He's like, oh, I think I can get 9 in. And then after we finished 3, he got a call and he had to leave after 3 holes and like walk back to his car, go home and like deal with like his work stuff. So I felt really bad. So I ended up only playing with a single Pat.
Pat.
Uno Pato. Yes. So I had an okay round. On the front, I shot a 43. I went bogey, par, double bogey, par. Double bogey, I was pissed. I hit like a huge hook off the tee. And then I was in like some thick rough and just tried to get it to the group. Like I almost should have like laid up kind of thing based off where I was.
Yep.
And kind of the shot I had. And it was really thick rough, caught it kind of fat and put it into the water. So I had to take a drop, ended up with a double bogey. So go double bogey there, par. And then I go bogey, par, bogey, bogey, bogey to finish the front for a 43. That would be a 7 over 43. And then I go to the back where I turn it on a bit more.
Love that.
Par 10, hit fucking smoke. So Pat and I were like, both of us are just like smoking our drive, like hitting really, really good drives, like to the point that like we're like joking with each other about like how far the ball is going, whatever.
PXG.
Hell yeah. 10 hole, make a par. 11, I make birdie. Par 5. So the closest I've ever been to this hole off the tee is like 215, 220 yards. I piped a drive on like the perfect line and took a huge bounce. My approach shot on this par 5, or my second shot on this par 5, 142 yards. So I hit the green, end up two putting for birdie.
Nice, dude.
Yeah. So great bird. Then I bogey 11, par 12, and birdie 13, which is another par 5 that I drained like a long putt on to make birdie. So I'm 1 under through on the back 9, I'm 1 under through 5.
Nice. Heating up.
And then I par. And then I go bogey, bogey, triple.
Oh, no.
Yeah. So I end up shooting a 40 on the back. So I go 43, 40 for an 83, still a good round. Towards the handicap, it was an 82 because I like the net double bogey reasons, it counted as a double towards my handicap.
That makes sense.
Right.
Yeah. If you get a triple, yeah, it's only going to count as a double towards your.
Right. I was just like so pit because like, so the last hole is kind of a shorter par 4 and there's like a bunker on the right side. It's like half in the rough, half in the fairway. And like, if I hit driver, I try to like aim over that bunker and have like a, almost like a chip shot into the green.
Mm-hmm.
But normally I'll hit hybrid. And I was like, should I hit driver? Should I hit hybrid? Then I was like, no, I'm going to play it smart. I'm playing well. I'm going to hit hybrid. And I just like absolutely, I don't even know what I did. I took the biggest divot I've ever taken in my life and just pop up my ball into the woods. Can't find my ball, have to take a drop, and end up making triple on 18. I was super pissed, but either way, I'll take the 83. Played pretty well aside from the last hole. Was happy that I turned it on the back nine, but it brought me to my best handicap ever.
What do we got?
8.9.
Wow, look at that.
Yeah,
look dude, at that.
The last like month and a half, I've just been playing really like it feels weird to the point that somebody I was paired up with a random person and they asked me what my handicap was and like I told them what my handicap was, but I almost like offered a disclaimer. I was like, yeah, but like the last month I've been playing like sick. I've been playing like the best golf of my life. I don't know what's happening. I'm just playing really fucking good golf. So yeah, I'm really jacked up about that, but not so jacked up about the triple on 18. So.
It had potential for, you know, an 80, an 81. It just
Well, dude, after I went bogey, bogey, triple. I went five over on the last three holes of the round. Otherwise, I would have had a round under par on the back nine. And like we were talking about it on the 15th hole, like Pat and I were walking to the next tee box and and he was like, yeah, you're one under right now. I'm like, oh, yeah, I know. He was like, honestly, I'd love to see you shoot an under par round on the back nine. I'm like, yeah, me too, man. Yeah, and then I
had to let Pat down.
Yeah, I did. But it was cool. I enjoyed it. And, yeah, I'm excited about the handicap aspect. But I'm also at the point that I was looking at, like, it's based off your previous 20 scores, essentially. So I was looking at that, and I was like, well, now I have to play really fucking good golf if I want to bring that handicap down any further, because they're all like just like good scores. So I'm like, I'm not just going out there shooting 80s all the time, you know?
Right, right. Yep. No, man, so. I know what you mean. Do Pat and Pat listen to the pod?
Dude, I don't think they've been listening.
Oh, boy.
We talked about this on either last episode or two episodes ago. I said I was going to bring it up to them, and I never brought it up. So I need to talk to them about it, but.
We gotta know. We gotta know.
Yeah, I know. See, you know what? They never mention it, so I have a feeling they do not listen. I guess this weekend when I play with them, if it comes up, I'll know.
Yeah,
Pat and Pat, if you listen to the podcast, tell me.
Well, it's funny because Ryan DeFusco, a buddy of mine, who he'd won in fantasy a couple weeks ago, and I like worded it. I was like, well, DeFusco won, but who the fuck cares? He doesn't listen to the podcast anyway, so fuck him. And he texted me and he was like, bro, I just listened to like three episodes of your guys' podcast. He's like, it's fucking pretty dope, man. Like, it's legit. And I was like, yo, I'm not out here fucking, yo, come on, man. This is some serious business. Kevin and I are out here, yo, we're chopping it up.
Hell yeah. Well, it's funny that you mentioned that because Abby Kay is a perfect example. She didn't listen to the podcast before. She only listened to the most recent episode because I told her she got a shout out.
Oh, okay.
And so then, meanwhile, she's texting Jules being like, oh, they're fucking hilarious. I know we are. Oh, listen.
Oh, geez. And guys, I was talking to a buddy of mine this weekend at the wedding, and he was telling me, you know, one of the things that would really help us out and, you know, grow our awareness is, you know, when you go there and you give us those 5 stars, give us a review. Shitty review, just send it to us via text or direct message on Instagram. We don't need that sort of publicity. But if you have something nice to say, you want to, you know, say something nice about the podcast, absolutely. We'd certainly appreciate it. So I don't have to continue to make fake email addresses and put in comments by myself.
Words say more than stars, people. But we do. Seriously, like, subscribe, listen. 5 stars, the whole 9 yards. It helps us out.
We appreciate it. And
and we do appreciate it. That's 100%.
And we appreciate everybody who grabs the merch and everyone that's trying to grab more.
Hell yeah. So absolutely.
Saturday.
Tell me about Saturday, buddy.
Dude, we played at Ass Crack. It was Jack and I show up to the court. So Jack, let me tell you this dedication. Jack Ubers from Stanford to my house in Marlboro so we can go to our tea time.
That's like an hour and a half.
Yeah, right? It's not close. I mean, yeah, it's yeah.
We're probably talking about minutes because I do not want to talk about dollars when it comes to Uber for that trip.
Yeah, no, I wouldn't even ask him. So we hit the course, and because I was good, the reason he Ubered is because I was gonna then bring him to the hotel where he was gonna meet his wife later in the afternoon.
I was gonna say, I'm sure like his wife was driving up. It was a debacle.
Yeah, he didn't need a whole bunch of cars. So we get there, we've got like I think like a 10 o'clock tea time, 9:40, 9:50. No, I think 10 o'clock. We get paired up.
I thought you said you played ass crack.
Did I
play before that every single week? Every single time I play golf in the morning, it's before that time.
Did I say ass crack? I mean, I
think you said ass crack.
And I'll believe it. Well, then shame on me, because that's certainly not ass crack. I would consider ass crack like 8 a.m., 6 a.m.
That's the ass crack of late morning.
Yeah. So we played it. Yep, 10 a.m. Yeah, I mean, I did shit before in the morning. But anyways, that's the
ass crack of a brunch reservation. Anyway, go ahead.
We played with James. James was down from Boston, visiting future mother-in-law. He's like, dude, I'm 100% gonna listen to the pod. He's like, I can already tell just from golfing with you, I'm gonna like what you got to listen to. So he was down. His future mother-in-law was having surgery, and they, you know, his fiance was like, you can just go golfing, and I was like, yo, you got a keeper, my friend.
Yeah.
You got a keeper.
It sounds like she's a fiance instead of a girlfriend for a reason.
Right. Absolutely. Wedding is later this September. So we will, best of luck to them. So it was a fucking awesome round. Jack didn't play his best, except, I mean, he kept it in the mid 80s, but for him, he didn't play his best. Starts off though with a fucking birdie on one. Just slice
on Anderson.
Yep, we played Anderson. But so I go. Wasn't the hottest first four holes for me. I'm not gonna lie. When after the first four holes, I was like, I looked over to James. You know, I was like, James, I know we just met, my friend, and I know, you know, this is a podcast shirt, and you know, I told you, you know, this is a brand, and I know I found a lot of rough, but I do shoot better than this. Like, I promise, like, this will turn around. I hope. So I don't know if you believed me at that point or not. But so I started bogey, double, double, bogey. So six over, a solid six over after four holes. So then I birdie number five. Which is a par four.
That uphill par four, right?
That hit the fairway, hit the
dude,
green.
That's a sick, that's a tough
dude. Hole. It's a sick hole to birdie. My approach shot to the green was a six iron, and then I hit like a 9 foot putt. Like, dude, it was dope.
Damn, you're talking about draining 9 foot putts. You stuck a six iron to 9 feet.
Yeah,
that's sick.
Love that.
Damn, so, man, that's dope.
Oh, it was sick. So I follow that up, obviously, with a bogey and then another bogey. But then I have two pars to come in. I then parred the par three, parred the par five. So I did the front nine in 43, seven over.
Okay.
Very respectable.
Hell yeah.
On the back, the first hole, I don't know. Me and Jack, we were going back and forth about scorecards. We were yipping, we were yapping. I was getting in my own head, and I fucking put my fucking ball into the fairway, and I was like, oh yeah. And then I just proceeded to fall apart on the hole. Missed the green on my next two shots. Get a ball in a bunker. It was just awful. So I ended up getting a double bogey on the 10th hole after finding the fairway. That sucked. So double to start, then another bogey. And I was like, yo, I need to pound a beer real quick. Went over to the cart, grabbed a very cold. Actually, I was going to say Bud Light was not drinking Bud Lights because the round was so early. Wasn't going to go after it. So ended up with some White Claws. There's a new White Claw flavor situation and a new package, new volume, if you will. And dude, I liked every one of them. It was a variety pack of mango, pineapple, black cherry or blackberry or something like that. And then I think it was strawberry. I think that was the other one. And they were all fucking good. Nice. I mean, I didn't drink all 12 of them, but they collectively,
you might have had 11.
As flavors, were good collectively.
Okay. That's fair.
So, you know, had to pound one of those, get back to reality. So then I hit 4 straight greens and parred each one of them.
Hell yeah.
Dude, wait, just the bounce back I needed.
Hell yeah.
And then come to the 16th hole, which is a par 3 downhill. It's like 195 yards. I bogey it. I end up in the bunker. I hit out of the bunker and then I 2-putt.
Okay.
And then go home, or no, sorry. Then I'm 17. It's a par 5. I fucking lipped out a putt that would have been for par. So I got a bogey there. And then on the 18th hole, I got a par. So I ended up with a 41, which gave me an 84, which, nice. You know, another score that I'm pretty, you know, pleased with. It's 12 over par. I'm currently sitting at a 14. So one, I have nothing to bitch about there. And two, the 3 double bogeys that I had, they all could have easily not been. So like, I've seen a lot of good things.
Dude, this is a great time of year to be starting to play good golf too. Cause this is like May, June, July. That's the sweet spot for golf, man.
Well, I got a lot coming up too, Kev. I got a lot. We've got,
you're busy.
I stay busy. So this weekend going to bachelor party number 2, for the summer. And so I'm not going to be able to get to play this weekend, but the following weekend, the first weekend in June, I am playing in the member guest down at Sterling Farms, nice. with Jack. Should be a great time. We have a 9:30 tee time, so I figure I'll ask him what time I should get an Uber to get down there. It will be reverse traffic.
Yeah, I wouldn't drive.
But I'll be playing in that. So I don't know if I'll be getting out next Saturday, but the following weekend is a huge event for me in the summer. It's not going to be as large as our next major, Kev, but it's a tournament that means a lot to me. It's a tournament that one of my buddies started a couple years ago. It's called the Nutcracker Tournament. All the additional proceeds go towards the American Cancer Society. And it's all for a great cause. So we won it 2 years ago in the inaugural year. Your boys came back. Yeah, it was at Blackledge, dude. And I hit a birdie putt on 18. And I was like, maybe we'll get third. Like, we go over and I think we're -8, -7.
Yeah.
And they were like, that wins it. And I was like, what? And they're like, you beat him by 1. And I was like, yeah, baby. Hell yeah. Wow. In 2 years, I'm definitely going to start a podcast called Life in the Rough and talk about this on our 22nd episode.
Was that a 4-man scramble?
Yeah,
dude, for what was it, 8 under you won it?
Yeah, and let me tell you, we were playing with, it was me, Jack, and then Mike Price and his buddy Jason Taukus. Now Taukus would never listen to this and it wouldn't matter, he wouldn't care. Taukus is probably someone who goes out there and shoots like a 95, like,
okay,
like he may not even wear a golf glove, I don't know, like,
yeah.
And Price at this time was still, let me tell you, sorry to put him on the spot, he is the best realtor around, guys, go to him, but I will say the guy does have a woman's putter. He uses his wife's putter. It's a lady's putter, so he needs to get one of those. And his driver is a driver that, you know, came off of the shelf at Walmart 15 fucking years ago, like, but it kind of works for him, like, he works his game. I've seen the kid go out and shoot an 80. Like, he can, maybe it was a 40 on 9, but he can play. But yeah, so what I'm saying is, me and Jack, like, it was a group effort. No, like, I will say that until I'm out of breath. It was a group effort. Taukus hit a putt. Mike had hit a shot. Everyone contributed, but like it, when we were playing, it seemed like we didn't have all the firepower that we could have. Now yeah. Mike is a lot better. Not to say it like come out like this, but Taukus isn't on the team anymore. We're playing with another one of Mike's friends, Ryan Lickey, who is, I mean, I've known him for years. He's an awesome dude and he loves the golf. So it's going to be a great time.
Hell yeah. Where are you playing again?
It's at Tumblebrook. It's a private country club in Bloomfield.
Oh, it's right across from Gillette.
It's close to it. I've only played there
around the corner or whatever. Yeah.
I only played there once, and in a tournament, it was weird. They didn't start you on the first hole, and there's 27 holes. So it was just like you get to one hole and you're like, you're on hole 23. And I'm like, what? Like,
but what hole am I on?
Yeah, really? But like, right. Yeah. But it was gorgeous. The food was delicious. I won a door prize at a raffle there. They had a bunch of Rolls Royces pulled out on the front lawn when you pull in. It's a wow. gorgeous facility. So I'm looking forward to it. There's a little inside baseball, you know, some knowledge that a few teams are going to have because there's a couple members there. So they're going to get out. They're going to get a couple rounds out early and read those greens. And I'm probably not going to be one of those people, Kev, but you know what? Life in the Rough is going to be out there. And it already is sponsored. It's sponsored by Hartford Brewing Company. But if it wasn't, Life in the Rough was a very close second, they said. So we'll get the winners on, maybe, unless they're douchebags. And that actually will say a lot. If we don't end up having the winners on, you guys will hear.
That will say a lot. You know what I think you should do? I think it wouldn't really work. So it would be the same group behind you every time. But I was going to say each time you get to a tee box, take a tee and just punch a business card into the tee box and then grab another tee and put your ball on the tee box.
So
it's going to be the same people behind you. So never mind.
But it will be a shotgun start. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to walk over to every cart prior to teeing off and just put a business card right on top of the scorecard.
I love that. I love that idea.
We'll just keep growing.
That's perfect, man. Well, hey, I'm looking forward to that. I think it's 2 weeks from now, right?
Yep. It's 2 weeks from now.
All right. Well,
three weeks from now, actually, because this weekend is Dallas. 2 weeks from now is my member guest with Jack. And then 3 weeks from now is the tournament. And then 4 weeks from now, Kev, I think you and me are going to plan to get together to do our second major of the year. And Kevin's going to try to, redeem some pride.
Yeah. Get the record back to even. Name of major and location of major are still TBD.
Yep.
So more info to come on that. More info to come on the Nutcracker. I'm sure there's going to be more info on the member guest at Sterling Farms with Jack.
And one other thing, we're going to have more information to come on. Kev, we've been challenged. We have been challenged. It guys, the challenge has been set. First of all, Kevin and I never, ever scared to back down to a challenge. Bryson, Brooksy, I know you're not talking to each other, but if you guys ever want to play with us, we're not scared to. We've been challenged. A fellow golf podcast here in Connecticut, we met these guys at a driving range down in Stanford. Down in Stanford. I forget what the name of that place was, Kev.
Chelsea Piers, Z-Strict.
That's right. So Justin Bettard had reached out. I'm pretty sure that's who it was. He's one of the guys from King Wolf Creative. And he said, listen, man, I think King Wolf Creative versus Life in the Rough, KWC versus LITR, two-man best ball.
We're talking acronyms out here. Acronyms.
Two-man best ball match play. They want it, Kev. They want the smoke.
Yeah, we're going to get that on the calendar. I think we should set a goal for ourselves to get that on the calendar before next episode. If we're going to preface it, I think we need to follow up on it.
I think we need to get both on the calendar. I think you and
I need to
pick our next major, and we need to get King Wolf Creative. We need to collaborate with the Pints and Putt Boys
and see where we're going to play and when.
Absolutely. I 100% agree. Those updates will be to the masses next week. That's all the time we have this week. I'm Kevin O'Coin.
And I'm Brian Ackley. This has been Life in the Rough, the podcast. We'll catch you guys next week. And once again, why don't you give us 5 stars and give us a couple reviews. Hope you guys have a great week.
Peace, y'all.
Woo!